Okay, fine. So, okay, so let's just review a little bit from last time. So we're in the Rambam Raivir in Hilchos Yontif, Perek Vav, Halacha Aleph and Beis. So the Rambam basically says, if you remember, we had some deductions in the Rambam, but he had that Lefikach. Basically, the Rambam drew a parallel between Erev Chatzeros and Erev Tavshilin. And he says, why is this called Erev? Erev Tavshilin? He says, oh, because Erev Chatzeros is called Erev. And Erev Chatzeros is a hacker. It's a reminder, so too, Erev Tavshilin is a hacker. Right? But Erev Chatzeros was called Erev because you were joining the Dira of all the people. You were dwelling as a unit, not as individuals. So you were actually being Ma'arev, joining. But Erev Tavshilin, it seems like Yeram's implying you're not joining anything. It's just you're using a word. You're borrowing the word Erev because Erev there means join, there means is a hacker, so to here it's a hacker. Right? And the Raivid didn't like that. He says that's the Renairos. Because he's telling me there's nothing intrinsically related between the two, it just happens to be the word. I mean, rather, Perek Vav, Yontif. Rather, he says that you're actually joining together the needs of Yontif and of Shabbos. Right? Join together the needs of Yontif and of Shabbos. So we have to get to the Raivid. About what that means exactly. But putting that at the right aside for now, but the Rambam is a kasha on the Rambam, is that's a funny way to name something based upon like a similarity between the two. Right? That's one problem. The other problem in the Rambam is that he says that this Isser is Medivrei Sofrim. The Isser of baking from a cooking from Yontif to Shabbos is Medivrei Sofrim. So you don't come to a cooking from Yontif to Chol. Because the person will draw a kal v'chomer. If I'm not allowed to cook for Shabbos, certainly I can't cook for Chol. Right? And then he says, Lefikach, imasatashim erev yantav, yosomech lavim vashel mutter. He says, therefore, if you place an erev, then it'll be mutter. So of course, it doesn't mean therefore. It's not therefore. It's a separate takana that the Ravon said of an Esau. And then they said a takana of a heter. It's not like, it doesn't naturally follow that since it's Asur and Darabon, and therefore you could just put an Erev, it's like as if he makes it sound like it's a natural, naturally follows. It's hard to see how that would naturally follow. Okay, there's another question. Our third question was, as the Rambam says in Halacha Beis, where he says it's a reminder that a person should not think, Shemutu lafos biyontav mashen anechel bobeyom. Then one should not think that you're allowed to cook on yontav that which is not going to be eaten on that day. Right, it reminds you that the only thing which is permitted is that which is going to be eaten on that day. So he said that's not true, because intrinsically you're allowed to cook and that will be eaten on Shabbos also. So it's not only Bobayom. So what do you mean that it should have said to remind you that it's only that you're only allowed to cook that which is eaten that you're not allowed to cook that which is eaten on Chol, because that's the whole thing. You don't want a guy to get confused between Shabbos and Chol. What it's saying is that it's reminding you that you're not allowed to cook on Yontif that which is not eaten on that day. It's not true that Shabbos is not that day, yet it's permitted intrinsically, dare I say. Right, those are our questions. Right, everyone good? Max, you following?
Yep, got it.
Okay, so we said, and this is like important because we haven't finished answering all these, so make sure you follow me here. So, so we said that, like by Erev Chatzeros, the way it works is like this, is that, and this is, we showed this in the Lashon of the Rambam, by Erev Chatzeros, but is that, see, there's a very similar thing going on here and there. Oh, I know, before we get to that, we said, what does he mean that you're only allowed to cook for this day? So we said that really the reason why you're allowed to cook on Yontif to Shabbos is because Shabbos is really Kedush Achas with Yontif. It's one day, it's both the Yom Kadosh. It's one day. And therefore it is considered Bobayam. The heter of cooking on Yontif is Yontif for the Kedush Zayam of Yontif. And the Kedush Zayam of Yontif for the Yom Kadosh. And the Yom Kadosh of Shabbos is part of the Yom Kadosh. So therefore it's permitted to cook on Yontif to Shabbos as well. It's part of the Yom Kadosh. The only thing is that a person doesn't relate to it as the same day. A person relates to it as two different days. So therefore we're worried that if you allow a guy to cook from Yontif to Shabbos, he's going to say, oh, you're allowed to cook for a different day. So you can be allowed to cook to Chol also. So what you have to do is you have to remind the person that the reason why you're allowed to cook from Yontif to Shabbos is because it really is one day. It's because, not because it's a different day, but the true halachic reality is not that you don't define the day based upon just what its basic identity is, but it's the Yom Shvisa, and it's one continuous Yom Shvisa, and therefore you could cook from Yontif to Shabbos. So you have to remind the guy so he doesn't slip into just thinking, oh yeah, it's for the next day. You have to show him this is something different. Right? Similar to Vayerev Chatzeros. Vayerev Chatzeros, you're not allowed to carry to a Rosh HaRabim. You're not allowed to carry to Rosh HaRabim. But a person feels like Rabim is that which is public, that which is only used by the public. So he may feel like his courtyard is public because many people live there. Right now, but it's not true, is that since his courtyard has walls, therefore it's Rosh HaYachid. But a person may judge, may think, may make a mistake when he carries in his courtyard and think that, oh, you're allowed to carry to a public domain. But the hacker reminds him that, no, the public domain is not defined based upon how many people, based on the fact that it's used by many people, but since they're mechitzos, and this is all one Roshos, and the Erev reminds a person that this is really only one private Roshos. So the Erev functions to remind him of the true underlying halachic reality, that a public domain, this is not really public because many people are here, but it's really private, it's a shosiyachid, because there are their walls. Similarly, it's reminding him of that the Yontif to Shabbos is not 2 days. It's 1 day, because since Kedush Nachas, therefore, Yontif Shabbos is 1 day, it's one Yom Shvisa, and therefore you're allowed to cook on Yontif to Shabbos. But you can't really cook for a different day, for tomorrow. Tomorrow's a different day, there's no Yontif to cook for Chol. The only reason to cook for Yom Shabbos is because it's 1 day. It's Kedush Achas. It's one Yom Kadosh, and therefore the Hetar applies. But the Erev reminds you that the true underlying halachic reality, which is that the conceptual Yom, there's one Kedush Achas. You know, there's Kedush Achas. Similar to how the Hekar Bayer Chateros reminds you that conceptually this is really Rosh HaYachid, even though it may appear like a Rosh HaRab. Now we said l'fikach. The idea is that when Shlomo was setting this thing up, Erev, and this Erev also, the purpose is not really to create an Esar, because there's no reason really to be mutter. You're allowed to carry in a courtyard. The horses are allowed to carry in a courtyard. The horses are allowed to cook me on the Shabbos. The point is not to create an Esar. The Rabbanim didn't try to set up an Esar, and then oh yeah, you know what? Let's make a Hetar. But rather, what they did is that they took the Torah's Hetar and they said it's only mutter under these conditions. You could only do it if you make a hecker that you remind yourself, you underscore that why it's mutter. You know what I mean? So it's not like they set up an isser and then an afterthought of a hetter, but the way the isser was that they relegated the oraisa hetter to the condition of erev. You know what I mean? So the whole isser is really because they want you to the matir to be in a place where it's clear what's going on. So therefore, if you don't place the Erev, then it's going to be Asar, because now you're not following, you're not doing that there. But the objective in the Chachamim is not to set up an Isser. It's really to remind the person, that make a cause to make Kal V'chomer. Cause them to say, you see, even Yontif to Shabbos is a question. So I can't just cook from Yontif to outside of Yontif. So the point of the point of the thing is to allow him to carry, but to allow him to cook, but to remind him of the true idea, so it's lefikach. Whereas the whole isser is not an intrinsic isser, the whole isser is in order to show him the idea. So lefikach, if he places an erev which reminds him of that idea and reminds him that it's one long day, so then it's going to be mutter. Whereas lefikach is based upon the understanding that the nature of this isser is not really to prohibit, it's really just to relegate the permit to an instant to where he places an Erev and he reminds himself of the true that was going on. Right, that's to explain the Fikah.
Because it's
Kushachas. Exactly. So it wouldn't make sense to say this is going to be Asar. They're not trying to make an Esar. They're trying to just show you the nature of the Heter so that you don't make a mistake, so you'll use the Heter without making a mistake next time. So since that's the whole Isser, Lefikach, if you use an Erev, then there's no problem. Because the whole problem is to do it in a way which is going to be confused with a different year. But when you have an Erev, then it's not going to be confused like that. The whole function of the Isser is just to remind the guy, to show him the true idea. But that's the point. The whole idea of the Isser is to remind the guy that you can't just cook from Yontif to a different day. You can't just cook Yontif to a different day. So it may call the Chomer. So I can't cook for Yontif to Shabbos. Certainly, I can't cook for Yontif to Chol. So it functions to remind him the same thing, whether you prevent him from cooking or if you allow him to cook using the Erev. Either way, he realizes that it's not simple to cook from Yontif to a different day. And the only reason I'm allowed to do it here is because I have this reminder that this is really 1 day. So since the whole Isser is to remind the guy, the reminder could take place through prohibiting him, but it could just take place through having a reminder. there's no reason to have to make it an absolute prohibition. As long as you have a reminder, and therefore if you have a reminder, then it'll be fine. That's what you're saying, the fikach is going to be mutter.
And the reason the Chachamim were able to create that one day of the new Shachas is because they both have
the Deoraisa.
Shrisa in common, so therefore...
The Deoraisa. That's the Rambam's learning, and most learn. So that's the question. But he'll tzarchei Shabbos to raisa tzarchei yom defnasim b'Shabbos. So saying the heter is for yom kadosh for malachas yom kadosh as opposed to malachas chol.
Okay.
It's not just for malachas yom malachas simchas yanta for malachas. Yeah, you know that was that machlokas rabbi.
Right.
You know, but that there is for malachas yanta, malachas yom kadosh, and Shabbos is also the yom kadosh. It's the same. It's underlying yom shel kedusha. It's yom one continuous yom shvisa. You know, the heter is for that yom shvisa.
Right. I think there's also one of the Rishonim learned that Machlokas also.
Yeah. One day. It seemed like Rashi was learning that way. The problem is that the Gemara implied that you could do from one yontif to next Shabbos.
Oh,
I mean, that was that problem. But it seems like we're learning the Rambam's learning it just because it's one long day.
Oh, okay.
That's what we're saying here. But that's the simplest way to learn Rashi. But we didn't end up going that way for Rashi because of that other problem.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, so what we're left here is the one question we have hanging is, according to the Rambam, why is it called Erev? How does he deal with, answer that question on the Ravitz question? He says, that sounds like a superficial way to call the thing. Call the thing based on intrinsic property of the thing. Calling it just because it has the word Erev and Erev over there is a hacker, so do Erev here is a hacker? I call it hacker. I don't know. It's just like a funny way to name the thing. You're not naming it based on anything intrinsic about it. You're naming it just based because it's a reminder. Okay, it's a reminder. That's so how do we answer that? Right, that's the Ravitz question. Are we in a better position to answer that? So I think Chaim's saying good that he's that the idea of the Erev is to, according to the Rambam, its essence is a reminder. A reminder of the true nature of what you're doing here. Right, and how you're allowed to be cooking now. That is what the whole institution is. Right? Now, so like when that's the idea of the takana, the institution of Erev, that it's a reminder. So now you have to give it a name. Let's say when the Rabbanan were setting it up. So they have this Esther and setting up Erev. So you have to give it a name, which is going to make it clear to a person that it's supposed to remind you of something. Right? Now, there is this institution out there, which Shlomo set up a very long time ago. Shomal set up of an Erev Chatzeros, and everyone knows that's the idea of Erev Chatzeros. It's called Yer Bim Ma'ariv, and like the Ram explains, the language, you're joining together the things, that is to say, we're all joined here in this one Rishos, so it's a one Rishos to us all. That's the idea, that's what the Erev talks. If you read the Ram and Erevin, the Erev is like telling you a message. So that's clear, that's what Erev is. I mean, I don't know nowadays if people are well aware of that. But that's the idea, that's like Pshat in the Erev. Is that you're joining together with food to show that this is all one big group. The Erev isn't the wire. The Erev is the food, which is the joint's food, which is in the shul, the box of matzah or whatever, which is one group, one joint communal food, which is saying is that we all have one big communal dira. And therefore, it's Rosh Hashanah. We're in this chatzar, it's Rosh Hashanah. So that it's clear, you do it back in the time of Shlomo, that an Erev Chatzeros is a reminder. So now when the Rabbanon want to set up Erev Chatzeros, Erev Tavshilin, and they want to give it the whole essence of the thing, the whole function of it is because it's mutter, because now you're doing it in a way that it'll remind you and it'll be clear to you what the nature of your heter is, that because it's one day, so the appropriate name to do is a name which intrinsically, automatically brings to mind that this is a reminding us of the true halachic reality of what's going on. And it's an exact parallel structure where you have a deoraisa which lends itself to being confused. You want to remind the person of the true underlying halachic reality. And therefore, the term is a term which is well known in the minds and the people's mouths as being a reminder. So therefore, the Torah is an appropriate term to choose because the whole idea of a reminder is only as good as it functions as a reminder. So it would be like, if you want to remind you of something, you take a red string because that's what people use as a reminder. So that's the best way to do it. Sometimes the reminder is only as good as it reminds. So if you have something which is clear to everybody, it's already established in people's psyches as being reminding you of the true underlying halachic reality, so then what better than to give it that same name, and therefore it'll be clear when you place the Erev that, oh, what's this doing? What's this reminding us of? You know what I mean? So That's what he's saying, is that the Rambam's point is the whole, I think this is unique to the Rambam, I mean, I think the Ravid's arguing on this, is that the Ravid, I mean, we have to do the Ravid, we haven't done him yet, but he's learning that an Erev is actually working somehow. There's like a mechanism, where it's being Ma'ariv, whatever that means. It's joining together the needs or whatever. According to the Rambam, it's not doing anything. It's reminding you. Like according to the Ravid, the Rashi also, it did something. It's your masal, your bishul. You're starting your bishul beforehand, right? It's not just, it's true, that does function to remind you. But that wasn't the whole essence of the thing, that it was a reminder. According to the Rambam, the whole iser, the whole heter of an erev is that you're cooking in a way in which you're reminded. You know what I mean? So therefore, it's not just an accidental name. The name is appropriate. I'm not saying they couldn't have come up with a different name, like, yeah, you could call it Tavshil HaKer or something, that would remind you also. But this functions also. This is a well-known vocabulary of people that Erev is a reminder, and therefore when you use the term, it's going to bring it to people's mind. I'm not saying it's the only way you could use that, but it's a good name. It's a good name, is that it brings that to mind, and everyone's, it's a halachic construct, which his function is a reminder. So when you call it an Erev, so that's also, similarly, it brings to mind everyone's mind that that's what's going on there. See, according to the Rambam, the whole thing over there, by the Eruch HaTzev also, is the joining together. It's not like you're actually joining it together. You're just reminding them that it's a really joined, that it's really one Rishas. The way it's working there also isn't through like an actual mechanism of joining. But it's just, it's underscoring the underlying unity of the Rishas, that is Rishas Yathen. So it's a hacker. So that's what halacha, the term Erev brings to mind, the halachic institution, which is reminding one of the true nature of the halachic realities and the deraisa, so that they don't come to extrapolate and draw wrong inferences. So that's what Erev is, and that's what Erev brings to mind. So therefore, the name is appropriate for it, and it will function to bring that to mind. See, I think the Ravid's question is based upon the fact that, like, the fact that it reminds you is like a function of the Erev. So the saying is, it's like a secondary function of the Erev, you know, that it reminds you. But there's a primary idea that it's Ma'ariv, it joins together, and that functions to remind you. So then you don't name a thing based upon a secondary property of the thing, name it based on what its essence is. What is it doing? What is it? Erev is joining, so joining is what we call it joining. A joining called Erev means something is joining. But according to the Rambam, the essence of the thing is that it's a reminder. It's not just an accidental secondary property. That's what Erevs are. It'd be interesting to check if like there's a machlokes and Ram Ravid over there by Erev, you know, and how they learn to say Erev Chatzeres, you know? I mean, we did see it was in line with the Rambam over there. But I forget. I don't know if there was a Ravid. I don't remember a Ravid on that halacha. But, you know, I mean, it's like, I guess that you really got to do Sugi Be'er Chatzeres. I mean, we're in the Sugi Be'er Tavshilin, and we're using it to shed light on, you know, we're saying something about Be'er Chatzeres, which we see in Lashon Ram there anyways, which we did last time, is how it explains this also. But it could be, it's a good call to remember, or it's worth pursuing further if you're actually going more further into the Sugya of Erev Chatzeres and to see how it works out. Like, is there a fundamental argument to the Ram Ravid about Erev Chatzeres is working? Or that they agree about, and the question is, how is Erev Tchum working? Erev Tavshilin working? You know, it's not clear. We don't really know the Ravid's sheet about Erev Chatzeres. You know, so... But we're just explaining, the Rambam was saying the name is because of its relationship and its, you know, similarity to Erev Chatzeres, so you probably want to at least have some idea of Erev Chatzeres, you know, how it's working. It seemed to be a decent idea, for, you know, to look at those halachos. So, I mean, it depends how familiar you are with Erev Chatzeres. I mean, if you've never done it before, it seemed to be a bad idea to try to explain this Rambam without looking at the halachos of Erev Chatzeres. Understanding at least on a basic level how Erev Chatzeres is working. And the Rambam is clearly telling you the name is to parallel that. So you could say, oh, well, that must be some, I don't know, something about reminding you, and, you know, it would seem to be not really doing your homework properly if you try to really put it a lot of time. And I'm not saying you can't think about it for a little bit, but, you know, it seemed to really do this Rambam, it would seem you want to look up the relevant Rambam. At least if you're not doing all the sugyas in Erev Chatzeres, I mean, that's what the Rambam is good, especially these types of problems in the Rambam. The Rambam spells out in a simpler way without having to do all the sugyas. You know, so You know, sometimes you could pick something out. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes these things are very complicated. But, I mean, I think here in the Lashon Rambam, you could, you know. Yeah. Okay, so now that brings us to the Ravid. So what's the Ravid's idea? So what does he say? It's called Erev because Shehu Ma'ariv Tzorchei Shabbos Al Tzorchei Yontif La'asos Sam Yachad. You're joining together the needs of Shabbos and the needs of Yontif to make them one. So how is he learning the Svara of how Erev is operating? How Erev is operating? So I think it's somewhat simple from what we're saying here. Is that... See, the problem is let's just go over the Deraisa again. The Deraisa is you're allowed to cook from Yontif to Shabbos because Yontif and Shabbos are like one day. They're one long Kedusha Seyom, or it's a, right? It's Kedusha Achas, so they're both the Yom Kadosh, so there's like, they're one day. Now, and therefore the cooking goes by that identity of the Yom, that it's one day. Okay, the Heter to cook on Yontif is on the extended Yom Shvisa of Yontif, which includes Shabbos. So now, in certain frameworks, Yontif and Shabbos are joined. They're one long extended Yom Shvisa. But there are other frameworks in which Yontif and Shabbos are different. They're different days, right? They're one Shabbos, one Yontif. And the danger, the reason why the Chum are stepping in here, is because the person is not going to view Yontif and Shabbos as being one day, but they're going to view them as being two separate days, right? And certain frameworks, you can look at it as one day, and other frameworks, you can look at it as 2 days. Now, the framework of Bishul, cooking on Yontif, goes by the framework as that they're one long day, right? They're one Yom Shvisa, and the Heter of cooking is a cat cooking for the extended day. But again, the problem is that a person could relate to them as being separate days. So what the heter is what you're doing is what are you doing when you're cooking on erev Yontif? So think of it like this: is that what's erev Yontif? What are people doing on erev Yontif? So what are they doing on erev Yontif?
Preps for Yontif.
Right, and now you're prepping for Shabbos, right? Right, that's what you're doing. We're placing the Eretz Hashilin. So what you're doing is you're being me'arev. You're joining together the Tzarchei Yontif and the Tzarchei Shabbos, and you're basically saying, "Is one second, we have a 2-day Yontif coming up, a 3-day Yontif coming up, and I'm cooking now on behalf of the different segments of this one long day." In other words, I'm not cooking for Yontif on Erev Yontif and then for Shabbos on Erev Shabbos. Because then I'm relating to them as two totally independent days. Right, on Thursday I cook for Yontif, Friday I'll cook for Shabbos. Two separate prep activities because they're two separate days, and this is my Yontif cooking, that's my Shabbos cooking. That's going to be the problem, because then a person is relating to them as being two separate days. And then they're going to say, oh, so I'm allowed to cook on Yontif for the different day, for after Yontif, for Shabbos. But when you place an Erev, you're basically saying, there's one long day here, and before this one long day, I'm involving myself in cooking for the first part of this one long day, and for the second part of this one long day, for the Yontif part and for the Shabbos part. It's all one long day. Now, maybe primarily I'm doing my cooking for the first part of the day, because it's closer, but I'm also beginning my preparation for the second part of the day, for the Shabbos part of this one long day. So what I'm doing is, I'm joining together the 2 days, and my bishul is treating them as one long day. By beginning my prep for Shabbos on Erev Yontif, that's how I'm linking them. The way, this is, I think you just had to fill in the gap there, but you're linking them because you're preparing for them as a unity. On the day which is the prep day for this first day, you're making it a prep day for both days, which means it's, they're one extended day, and therefore you're preparing for them both because they are one extended day. So the Erev is actually, the days are linked intrinsically, but you are so to speak bringing that link and making that link a reality insofar as you're cooking and insofar as your preparation. In other words, you're making that unification a reality insofar as you are concerned, insofar as your Bishul is concerned. And insofar as that is the case, then when you're cooking on Yontif for Shabbos, you're not cooking on Yontif for after Yontif. You're cooking on Yontif for the second part of your big long day. And therefore that's permitted. What's prohibited is insofar as your cooking relates to them and treats them as two independent days. So then if you're going to cook from day one, from the Yontif to Shabbos, you're cooking on Yontif for after Yontif, and then you're going to end up cooking from Yontif to Chol. See, that's the problem. But if you link them, if through your Erev, your Ma'ariv, the Tzarkei Shabbos and Tzarkei Yontif, you join together their Tzrachim, which means your preparation treats them and acts towards them as a big unit, so now then you undermine the whole chashash, the whole thing they're worried about, because they're worried about it. The guys can say, oh, I can prepare Yontif for after Yontif, I'm going to prepare for Chol. But now you're not treating them as for after Yontif, you're treating it as one long day. Like we were encountering a three-day Yontif. Get ready. Everyone start your cooking, we're getting ready for a three-day. So you see the term three-day Yontif, insofar as your preparation, you're beginning your preparation for Shabbos before Yontif because you're treating them as a unit. As opposed to if you treat them as separately, so then you're basically, then you've got a problem because then you're saying on Yontif, I'm doing it for the next day, then that's what's going to get confusing. But if Yontif and Shabbos are treated as a unit, then there's nothing to do with cooking for Chol. Because cooking for Chol is cooking for after the unit, for after Yontif, and cooking for Shabbos is cooking for part two of this, of this one unit.
How does that make it like you're cooking for one unit?
Because what you're doing is that like for instance, if like as an example is like let's say you're making two different parties, okay? You're making two different parties. Make a party on Saturday night and a party on Sunday, something like that. So basically, is you before Saturday night party, you cook for Saturday night party. Then before Sunday party, you cook a Sunday party. Right? They're two separate parties, they're separate things, and they each have their own place. I get put all my energy into making Saturday night nice. I don't, before Saturday night, I don't work on making Sunday night, Sunday, Sunday, Saturday night. So they're separate. So I prepare for them independently. Okay? But if I cook for them, if I cook on, let's say, on Friday for Saturday and for Sunday, so I'm treating them as my unit of parties. So I'm not preparing for Saturday night, I'm not preparing for Sunday. I'm preparing for the unit of my party week, or my party weekend, you know? So I'm preparing for the weekend, for the unit of the two things. So when I prepare, when I do one preparation, l'shneihem, for both of them, so I'm treating them as one block, as one unit. You know, I mean, if I do separate preparations, one for one for the other, so then I'm treating them as two totally independent things, which just happen to be back-to-back. You know what I mean? So in Erev, what are you doing in Erev is you're cooking for Shabbos on Erev Yontif, together with all the other Tzarchei Yontif. So what are you doing? You're mixing together. You're supposed to be preparing for Yontif, not for Shabbos. The answer is no, because Yontif and Shabbos are one big unit. So I'm cooking now for the block of Yontif Shabbos, and I'm treating them as one big unit. I'm joining together the Tzrach. Well, today is the day of prep for Yontif. Shabbos, Yontif, they're all one big thing. I'm preparing now for the big chunk, the big unit of Yontif Shabbos.
How come the Chumash weren't required you to eat part of it on Yontif then?
Well, you eat your Tzrach Yontif on Yontif. And you don't have to eat the Erev on Yontif. In other words, the fact is you're cooking today on Erev Yontif. You're cooking Tzrach Shabbos and Tzrach Yontif. Mm-hmm. Both of them.
How could you say you're cooking for Shabbos and you're not going to eat the Erev at all?
You're going to eat it on Shabbos.
Oh, you're eating it on Shabbos.
I mean, you don't have to eat it on Shabbos, but it's there for Shabbos if you want to eat it. I mean, it's there. You're not supposed to eat it on Yontif.
That's what I'm saying, but if you're saying it's a preparation for both days.
I'm not saying the Erev is a preparation for both days. I'm saying is the cooking on Erev Yontif, everyone's cooking for Yontif because it's Erev Yontif. So that's the day, its identity is a prep day for Yontif.
Okay.
You don't have to do anything to make it a prep day for Yontif. It is a prep day for Yontif. It's Erev Yontif. What you have to do is to make it a prep day for Shabbos as well, to include the Tzarkei Shabbos into that day, into the Tzarkei Yontif. So it's already Tzarkei Yontif. I mean, you're cooking stuff which is going to be eaten on Yontif. When are you cooking your Yontif meal? You're cooking it on Erev Yontif. That's already cooking
right,
for Yontif.
So
Tzarkei Shabbos, which is later, which is later the next day, is what are you doing that now for? It's not Erev Shabbos. It's Erev Yontif. No, it is. It's Erev the one long Kedushas Hayom of Yontif Shabbos. So the fact that I do it is before the whole thing starts. I underscore that I'm relating to them as one big unit. And by doing so my bishul, my prep relates them as one big unit. And so far as that's the case, now this in no way resembles my cooking on Yontif to Shabbos. In no way resembles cooking Yontif to Chol, because Yontif to Shabbos is cooking from part one to part two, but Yontif to Chol is cooking from Yontif to after Yontif. But again, if I don't have an Erev, so then basically I'm treating cooking for Yontif as one thing, cooking for Shabbos as a separate thing, two separate things. So now if I cook on Yontif for Shabbos, I'm cooking on Yontif for a totally different day. So I'll say, oh, so now I'm going to do that from Yontif to Shabbos to weekday also. That's when there's a Gzera. So it kind of functions to remind you. It does remind you, but that's not essentially, it's more than just, it's more mechanistic than just a reminder.
Right,
it's actually, you're halachically treating or realizing the reality which makes it mutter. What makes it mutter is because it's one long day. And you're aligning your preparation with that underlying reality of Erev. It is Mu'urav. The days are intrinsically Mu'urav. But you are being Ma'arev, your tzrach, your preparations. You're joining together your preparations and aligning them with the underlying character of the day. As opposed to the Rambam, where it's not, you're not be joining anything. You're just reminding you of the true underlying nature of what's going on. It's different, a different thing. It's just, according to the Rambam, it's just a reminder. Just jogs your memory of that's what's going on. According to the Ravid, you're actually you're making your bishul, you're putting your bishul into the context of what Erev of one day.
If it's really establishing the day as a 2-day yontif, why didn't the Chumash?
I'd like to do next is the Gemara. So the Gemara wants to know, and someone asked about this. We talked about this sometime, but the Gemara wants to know is, so if you remember, there's two possibilities on the table of why, what's the reason for Erev Tov Shilin? Is it because of Kavod Shabbos, or because of Kavod Yontif, at least the way Rashi said it? Is it because of Kavod Shabbos so that a guy doesn't forget about Shabbos and he leaves over food for Shabbos? He doesn't finish up all his food on Shabbos, you know? He doesn't finish up all his food on Yontif, but he leaves some over, and the Erev reminds him to do that. Or is it because you don't want a guy to accidentally cook from Yontif to Chol, so therefore you say you can't cook from Yontif to Shabbos unless you have an Erev? It's a reminder to protect Yontif.
Or is it both as a joining?
Right, but that's in that framework. The joining is in order that to prevent the guy from cooking from Yontif to Chol. Like, is it in order to prevent you from cooking from Yontif to Chol? Is it protecting that? Protect you so that you don't cook from Yontif to Chol? Or is it to protect it so that you don't eat up all your food and not have any food for Shabbos? You know, to protect Shabbos. Right? Those are the basically two possibilities. So the Gemara is going to get into when, according to each of these positions, when is the appropriate time to place Erev Tov Shilin? Because you definitely have to place it before Yontif. You can't place it once Yontif begins. Right? Why not? According to each of those shittos. So the Gemara takes that up. The Gemara, right after, what's kind of what we're up to? Bishlama, it's the fourth wide line. Tanan, I guess, the third wide line. Okay, and basically until Vitana. Okay, a few lines. Three or four lines. So Vitana Maisamayacha. And then what I'd like to do is, if you look at this, the Beis Yosef brings down a question. Is B'diavad. It's the Mordechai, actually. The Mordechai has it. It's in the Mordechai. Question is, B'diavad, if I forget to place it on Erev Yontif, could I place it on Yontif? If I forget to place the Erev on Erev Yontif, could I place it on Yontif?
How is it possible? Wasn't there an idea that we can rely on other people having...
Oh, yeah, forget about that. Let's say there are no other people. That's true, but let's forget about that for that issue. Okay.
How is it possible to forget
the B.D.F.?
Right? If you forget, then doesn't mean you completely forgot.
No, but you remember now on Yontif. You forgot on Erev Yontif. Now it's Yontif. So now could you place the Erev now on Yontif? You know what I mean? Because now I want to cook today for a Shabbos. I didn't place it before Yontif. Could I now place it on Yontif itself?
Wait, so where does it come up? Narosh?
The Mordechai has it. 1 second here. Pamahas. It's in the Mordechai. It's on Daf Chaf Gimel. In the Dafei Ref, I guess. Dafei Ref. Gimel Aleph, it's like it's a left column towards the bottom. Tam Achas. There's two dots. It's in the middle of Tafresh Ayin Aleph. Okay, they have letters, the paragraphs, Tafresh Ayin Aleph. So you can look at that. The Beis Yosef brings it down. It's a question. The you could, if you want to click the Beis Yosef, you look on the Mechaver. But it's a question, that's basically the question. It's could you be the Abbot? If you forget to do it on every Yontif, could you do it on Yontif? You know, so
was it?
Well, it's not as... Oh, which seven in the Shulchan Aruch you mean?
Yeah.
It's I think Tav Resh Chav Zayin. Tav Kuf Chav Zayin. Tav Kuf Chav Zayin. I mean, all this stuff is. I mean, I hope to. I didn't really prepare this yet, but I hope to try to, when we do these sugyas, to try to look into the halachas on these things and to do like the. There's not that many Rishonim on Beitza on this parak at least, but there's the Torah and the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch. And I mean, there's a lot of because this is halacha all the halacha. So I mean, I hope to use that. You know, maybe at some point even to work through the, you know, all the points that we miss in the sugyas to kind of get them from the Torah.